You're listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas.
Welcome back to the final edition of the award-winning podcast, The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. This is a special edition, of course, but we call it The Crossover Champs. This will be different because we have two guests today with us, and obviously from the 2023 Turkish Airlines Championship team. Please welcome to the show Real Madrid point guard and a huge piece of this team down the stretch, Nigel Williams-Goss. And of course, the man who led the team from the bench to one of the most improbable championships ever, Jesus Mateo. Welcome, guys, to the crossover. And I guess the first thing to say is congratulations to both of you. Unbelievable.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nigel, you're young. Jesus, I don't know how old you are, but I know how old I am. I'm 57. I've been around this game for a long time. And I got to say that I thought I saw everything in basketball that could possibly happen. But watching you guys win this was one of the most craziest things I've ever seen. We're going to go over it a little bit. But, I mean, how does it feel right now, like looking back? It's been 1 week, you know, since you guys probably arrived back here in Spanish land. How does it feel right now, a week later? You still, like, in disbelief or?
Yeah, we start to believe. We start to believe that we won a championship. It was the last 3 weeks before the championship. It was 3 weeks unbelievable for us because we were losing 0-2 against Partizan, and we played very good there in Belgrade. We were able to come back. And then in the fifth game against Partizan, we came back too in the game because we were losing by 18 points. And it was amazing the way that we reached the Final Four. But it was even more the way that we were able to win the semifinal, but especially the final and the last shot.
Coach, you're trying to take the whole interview on me in the first 2 minutes,
no,
man.
No, just trying to make a resume of my thoughts.
Yeah, let me do my job and work up to the good stuff, man. That's my job. Okay, Nigel, yeah. How's it feel for you?
I will answer yes or not.
No, we don't want that. We like good answers like that one. But we'll take them a piece at a time. I'm going to go over all that. Don't worry. Nigel, what about you? How's it feel for you as a player that, you know, I mean, you guys were down and out at one point.
Yeah, I mean, it still feels, I mean, just unbelievable to me. I mean, I said it all year long that, you know, my only goal is to win the EuroLeague. Like, this is something that I've, you know, thought about, dreamt about since, you know, my first year in Europe. It's funny, in 2018 was my first professional season, and my first EuroLeague game that I ever watched in person was Madrid and Fener in the EuroLeague final, because it was in Belgrade at the time and I was playing in Partizan. And so ever since I watched that final game, that image of, like, winning a EuroLeague has been put in my mind. So for that to be, you know, a reality now, it still is just I can't describe it.
Crazy, isn't it? I mean, and you started 2018, so you've been around for 5 years.
Yeah. So I have a short, short time period of watching EuroLeague. Like you said, you've seen a lot more series and Final Fours than I have. But, man, it was special to see it in person for sure.
The night before the day before the semifinal game, I think it was, or maybe Wednesday, I can't remember. Like, all last week was so confusing for me, like, from day to day. But I did a roundtable discussion with I'm not even going to say their names because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But if you look it up, you'll know who I was talking to. And there was three other people. There was a current player, an ex-player, and a journalist. All right, those are the three people I had on the roundtable. We were discussing the semifinals and the Final Four. And, of course, we always make them do predictions, you know. And so our prediction was, okay, you have to give me the prediction of the champion and the prediction of the MVP. Coach, Madrid didn't come up in any of the predictions. Yeah. And the MVP, there was nobody in Madrid's name on that. It was most of them were – there was two Barcelonas and one Olympiacos. I don't make predictions because every time I make a prediction, I'm right. So it gets boring for people. So So I stopped making predictions. So what do you tell those experts, so to speak?
No, this can happen. Of course, everybody can say whatever. In basketball, you said that you are now 57 and you didn't see nothing similar in the past. But in basketball, everything can happen. It's very easy for everybody to say opinions and say who's going to be the winner. But sometimes everything can change. Basketball and sports give you this kind of presence for the fans. So, good.
Nigel, I want to get into the season a little bit with both of you. But you, from a player's perspective, the season was, even though it was a crazy middle of the table, you know, with Baskonia and Crvena Zvezda and Partizan and all these teams that were fighting for fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth place. The first four were pretty well set throughout the season. You know, I mean, it was just a matter of, you know, going up and down, where were you going to end up? But how crazy was it living? Because I think you kind of knew at one point that you were going to have home court advantage. It was just a matter of who you were going to play against was the thing. But how crazy was it watching all that? I call it a traffic jam in the middle.
I mean, one, it was it was super fun to be a part of because the season was so competitive. You know, I think statistically, you know, it showed that the season was like the most competitive season ever. So it was super fun from, you know, a player's perspective to have that challenge every night. But, you know, I try not to look too much at the standings as far as like saying, okay, we know we're going to have home court advantage because honestly, if you look at it, if we would have lost three consecutive games, we could have lost the home court advantage. So it really just was, you know, playing all the way up until the end and just trying to finish as high as we could. So definitely never relaxed because if you relax, you know, in this league, it can bite you.
But come on, man. I used to play this game. I know it's a long time ago. I don't remember a lot, but I remember looking around going, man, ooh, man, I don't know if I want to play that team right there. You know, like, hopefully they lose a couple games and we win and we don't have to match up with them. Were there any teams that you looked at like, y'all were just a little bit nervous about playing?
No, not really. I mean, like you said, I mean, just because all the teams were so good. I mean, when you look at Fenerbahce as the eighth seed, right. I mean, at one point in the season, they were first. You know what I mean? It was just
and undefeated.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the eighth seed, you know, and I don't think, again, as far as I can remember, where 1 through 8, anyone could win, you know, and I think, I mean, 3 of the series went to game 5. Okay, Barcelona played, you know, incredible versus Algiers and you know, right. Swept that series, but the 3 other ones went to game 5, you know, so it just showed, you know, it didn't really matter who you played. It was going to be a tough series, Fener, Partizan, Maccabi. It didn't matter. It was going to be a tough series.
Coach, for you as the head coach, your first full season coming from being, you know, Pablo's assistant, you got to deal with what you've dealt with over the last 8 years anyways, injuries throughout the year. You know, Rudy Fernandez started out really slow. Sergio Llull was up and down all year. Sergio Rodriguez was in and out. But you had all kinds of injuries. You know, Adam Mango was in and out of the lineup. Yabusele, everybody was in and out. I mean, it's always good to have a deep bench like you guys have, but how difficult is it for the team to catch? It's like you never really get a rhythm going because you never have the same lineup all the time.
Yeah, it was not easy because we got a long roster, as you said, but it's a very, very tough competition. Too many people going up and down, and too many people going in and out of the 12 that are playing. And at the end, when we get those injuries, or Yabusele is out, or Poirier and Deck are out for the injuries, this made us to how to manage the people that we got. And this was good because we probably think about it. How can we finish with some veteran players? And we have to add some tactic things like the zone, because it was good for our veteran players to know. They know how to run it. At the beginning, we start with more physical players like Nigel at the beginning, or Adam Hanga, that are very good defenders. And then we could finish with people that knows how to close the game, to finish the game. it was good. And even to find someone like John Diage that could play good defense at the beginning of the games, it was good to find these different resources. It was not easy because, of course, you got to manage a long roster during all this season. But at the end, it was good to know that we can do something different to manage how to finish the game.
That was one of my questions, Coach, that I was thinking about during especially those last five games between the incident that happened in game two, plus, you know, Vince Wah getting injured, Gabriel Deck being injured. Does it become easier as a coach to because you're managing less players now, so your rotation is tighter. You have to rely on certain players, and those are the only players. You don't have to think, you know, about five or six other players. Does it make your job a little bit easier? I know not having those players disposable is difficult, but it makes your job, I think, in rotation-wise, a little bit easier, doesn't it?
Yep. We had to play more minutes with Tavares, and we have to protect him. And probably this was the reason why we start to run zone. Mm-hmm. And start to protect him a little bit against man-to-man. The same like Mario Hesonia. Yeah. That Mario has to play as four, and he's a three-man. So we got to react. We got to react in this last five games, and it was good. At the end, was good. Of course, we reduce our inside game.
But I mean, I think Hesonia gave you. He gave you something that he never gave you throughout the season, and that was a rebounding advantage and the ability to open up the floor, which was, I mean, I never expected from him. But, I mean, I looked at the stats before the final games because that's what I do. That's what part of my job is. And he was averaging 8 rebounds a game over the last 6 games of the season, which was, you know.
Yeah, Hesonia did a great job. Same like the other teammates, but Hesonia gave everything for the team. And he said, okay, I have to play 4. I will do it, and I will try to do what the coach and my teammates demand me. And this is what he did. He played amazing the last 5 games, as you said, rebounding, helping Eddie in a rebound. But all the other players try to do everything for the team. It was amazing how they react.
Eddie's obviously the man. I mean, there's no, you know, Nigel, there's no doubt. There's no doubt in that, right? I mean, he's the man.
Right.
And he's the guy that, like, you know, when you guys were coming back from Serb, I asked him, you know, after those 2 games, if he was gonna fly the plane too, because he did just about everything else. But there, every game that he played well. I mean, let's go to the first 2 games. All right, let me start. Let me not jump ahead to that sick 3-pointer you hit. We'll get to that one in a minute. But in the first 2 games, the first game was dominated. Well, not dominated. The first game was a battle back and forth between you and Partizan in that playoff, and Punter hits the big 3. There was a huge play in the middle of that where Musa went down and tried to get the offensive foul, and then Punter hit the 3 with the foul from, I don't know if it was you or if it was, me. I think it was you, right?
Me.
And I thought that play was like one of the determining factors of the series. You remember exactly what play I'm talking about, obviously.
Yeah, no, I remember the play, but I think you touched on game 1 pretty well. Like, it was a battle back and forth.
Right.
But ultimately, like, we had a 1-point lead with the last possession, you know. And so I felt, and the score indicated, that we had played well enough in game 1 to win the game. Obviously, all the credit goes to Punter for hitting that shot, you know, highly contested over Gershon. But game 1, I truly believe that we played well enough to win. And then game 2 was a different story.
You know, you go back to game 1, I remember, and I'm sure you guys remember because we always remember these things. In the last 2 minutes, there was a wide open 3 that Rudy normally makes that he missed from the corner. And then there was a reverse layup by Gershon that I don't know how he missed it, you know? And it's like you said, when I went back and watched the game before game 2, I'm like, man, I'm like, all they had to do is make one of those 2 shots and that would have probably ended the game. That's how tight it was.
Yeah. No, game 1 was, both teams, I thought, played well. Both teams, you know, had a chance to win. We were up the last possession, and then he hit a great shot. So, I feel like after game 1, we still were pretty positive going into game 2.
But coach, then Nigel just said, but game two was a different story, and game two definitely was a different story. They came out strong. You know, sometimes teams relax after they get that first win on the road, but they came out a little bit stronger. And then Eddie got hurt. Eddie hurt his knee, I think, at the end of the first half, if I remember correctly. And he tried to come out in the second half, but that was when you decided to pull him out for the rest of the game. And from then on, it was all Partizan. I mean, obviously he was hurt, because I know Eddie well enough to know that if he's okay to play, he's going to play. But I mean, was it hard to make that decision to take him out of the game and keep him sitting down when you saw that the Partizan was dominating game two?
This game was a different story, as you said, because the first one, I think that it was bad luck. Of course, they deserve to win because they hit this shot. And we from this second game, apart of the injury of Eddie, we from this second game like a little bit anxious. We don't want to go to Belgrade 0-2.
Right.
When we try to win the game in the first quarter, and it was all the game was like we have to be leading the game immediately, and we need to win the game in the minute number 10. Right. And right. This was a mistake, and of course they kill us in the second game. They beat us very, very easy with a big difference. And this was what made us to think that we have to go game by game. Of course, it was not easy to win in Belgrade, but we have to think game by game. And this is something that we did all the season. And in this game, we front very bad the second game.
At the end of that second game, I mean, I'm you know, this is the crossover, and obviously I have to talk about it. I can't ignore what happened at the end of the game, you know, because it's common knowledge and well known to everybody. And you know, there was the fight, there was a little confrontation between Sergio and between Punter, and then the fight occurred, and you know, I think everybody in European basketball, you know, feels the same way about what happened there. And me as a player, I know that happens sometimes. The frustration sets in. You're losing the second game at home. You feel like the series is over. You know, how did that affect you guys? You know, after the judge makes his ruling and everything else happens. I mean, in which way does it affect the team, Nigel, from inside the locker room? And which way, coach, does it affect the coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I think for us, it really brought us closer. You know, it really brought us closer because, again, when your backs are against the wall and – you know, you have nowhere to go but forward, you know. And so when we got the ruling and we knew, obviously, Deck was out and we knew Gershon was out and that we already didn't have Vince, you know, it really just like we came together and we knew going on the road, especially, you know, it was just going to be us, you know, the 20, 25 people that were in our traveling party going to Belgrade. And, you know, it really brought us closer together, I believe.
Coach, as far as the coaching staff is concerned?
I think that talking about players, in this moment, probably they think that they can be, their view can be this for the fans. They know how to play basketball. They play basketball very good. And they thought that they are going to be reminded by this fight. And it was very, very bad feeling for everybody. Everybody start to join as a team and think, hey, we have to play basketball as better as we can. And this is what happened in Belgrade. I think that everybody played good game, everybody together. We keep together in this bad moment. Everybody feel very bad in the locker room and the coaching staff same, because this was, as you said, some frustration in this moment. 0-2 playing bad and this reaction was not good, and everybody was everybody apologized about it, and this made us to be joined and to go to Belgrade thinking that we have to play good basketball. This is what we did.
The trip to Belgrade, I was obviously on that trip with you guys, and I was there for the games. The first game was crazy. The first game was just, you know, it was nuts. The fans, the crowd, the atmosphere, you know, especially coming from the fight, you know, I mean, that just that kind of induced the fans even more. And Eddie took over that game, and this is where I was going to go before, Nigel. Eddie took over that game, and I mean, I think he had like a 41 PIR at 20 something points. I don't even know how many rebounds. I didn't look at the stats all over again, but all those games that Eddie played, you know, I call them like Batman, you know, and Batman had a Robin, and you were Robin in that game because, I mean, you went all, yeah, I think you ended up with 20 in that game, and that's not your role, but you assume that role in game three. Like I said, Batman needed a Robin, and you were that Robin right there. I mean, and then you just hit that nasty step back three at the end of the game, man. What's going through your mind at that point? Because y'all were—I mean, I'm sorry. I'm a player. I'm an ex-player. I know the feeling. Y'all were done. I mean, it was. You felt like it was over, but what going to Partizan mentally?
I mean, maybe that's how you feel. as a player, man, and as a competitor, I feel like you don't reach this level of playing at a place like Real Madrid without a different mindset. And I feel like, speaking for myself, I don't have a normal mindset. A normal person could say we're down 0-2 going into maybe the toughest environment, you know, in Europe. Right. And so there's no way we're going to win. But again, I didn't get to this point in my career by thinking regular or normal. So I had belief, I had confidence. Maybe it's not my role, you know, every night on this team to score 20. For sure, we have a lot of great players, but I'm more than capable, you know, and I showed that throughout my career that I can score, I can defend, I can do whatever the team needs me to do to win a game. So I had a lot of confidence going into game three that if we got that one, that the pressure would switch a little bit. You know, right. Like you get one game, then all the pressure is really on them for game four, because if they don't close out in game four, no team has ever won a road game in game five. So right. To me, it didn't seem that, you know, improbable for us to do it. Like Coach said, we take it a game at a time, and one game and the pressure switches. So I was very, I was confident, I was focused, and, you know, I knew I was going to do whatever I could do to try to get a game three win.
Yeah, and you did, man. You came out, you balled out. I mean, and you did it throughout the whole game, too. You had a lot of time that game. There wasn't, you know, Sergio, you didn't play much that game, so you got a little bit more time at the point guard situation. You got that last play. Talk to me about that last, well, it wasn't the last play, but it was the defining play, that step back three.
Yeah, it was funny. So we had two baseline out of bounds plays in that possession. And the first time, I'm the one who actually took it out and inbounded it. And I think the ball got to Chacho and he made a play. And then somehow the ball went back out of bounds. And so when the ball went back out of bounds, I told Chacho, I said, Chacho, take it out. Because I knew I wanted to get the ball on the second one. No, this is what happened. So I told Chacho, take it out. And again, just knowing my personality, man, and knowing my career and, you know, the big moments I've been in, I feel comfortable in those moments. So I knew when I got the ball, I was maybe going to look like I was going to pass it. But in my head, I knew I was going to try to make a play. And right. That's what happened. I got the ball and I was kind of looking to see who was open. And then it kind of froze Dante a little bit. He kind of saw me looking around thinking I was maybe going to pass. And I think I, you know, I caught them, you know, off rhythm a little bit.
Coach, let's move to game four. Game four was incredible for other reasons. There was the school shooting, the mass shooting in Serbia, and the fans came and they, you know, they threw their support to their country and to the people who had fallen in that shooting, which was a very unfortunate situation. But all of a sudden, the pressure from the fans was diminished, at least for the first 20 minutes of that game. Did that make it a little bit easier for you guys? Because you got out to a big lead there in the first half, and then you lost it at halftime. But was the fact that the fans were a little bit out of that game make it easier for the team?
I think that everybody was very sad at this day, even us. But, of course, they feel it closer than us because it was in their country. And of course, probably this could... could be a point, of course, but we played very good this game. We start very focused on the game. We start with a big advantage, leading the game easy at the beginning, but they came back before the the halftime. They tied the game. So the game was very tight till the end. And even till the last 2 minutes, I remember. And it was good to see how we close the game, because at the end we have two or three bad luck situations. Nigel was the main role in this one, but Nigel did a great two games in Belgrade. These two games were he led some of the most important place in this two games. So we finished this game very happy, because it was not easy to win one game there in Belgrade. So even two, it was close to impossible, but we did it and we came back to Madrid. We finished these games very proud. What we did was amazing.
Hey, the coach just call you out, Nigel? Was that you who took the ball out of bounds under the basket?
That was one of the craziest plays I've ever been a part of. And I think if I do the same play a million times, there's no way he tips the ball into the basket. But
very bad luck.
That was crazy. It was like, I remember seeing that. I was like, what the hell just happened right there? It looks like Tuz hasn't forgot about it either.
Oh, me neither.
Hey, we always remember the bad plays. We always remember those. They stick out in your mind a little more.
I remember perfectly the three-pointer that he scored.
Yeah, you better remember that one. Hey, now game five comes along. Gabby gets hurt. He's out. And you guys are down. Well, I mean, you said 18 earlier when you redid the whole thing. But I remember it was 18. But I remember with 3:09 left in the third quarter, you were down 16. And that was when it really started to pick up from that point on. I know Chacho comes out of nowhere. I talked about Robin, you know, Batman and Robin. You had Eddie. You know, in game four, you had Adamango. I think he scored 15 in the first half, if I remember correctly. And then in game five, it was Chacho who came out and was Eddie's Robin, so to speak. But, you know, down 16 and pretty much, I felt like the team was dominated more so in that game than you guys were in game two. How did you guys come back from that 16-point deficit? It still stuns me.
I remember the halftime, and we never stopped to believe, and we said, I don't know when. In the second half, that we are going to find a window where we can go into this window. Mm-hmm. And Tacho start to go into the window. Tacho start to react. Then some of the teammates, Yul, Rudy, start to go with him. And then we could come back. Sometimes this happened. Magic things can happen when Tacho start to play like this. Chacho play amazing this game, of course, with all his teammates together, but he starts a reaction. He opened this window and all the team go behind him. So it was amazing how we did this reaction.
And Nigel, how cool was it to watch Chacho out there? You're the guy that usually plays in front of him, you know, and he comes in and out and gives you a substitution every now and then. And, you know, I mean, how was it to sit there and watch this? You know, I call him the old man come out and just go all. I mean, he went crazy.
I think it just made it so much sweeter, you know, that like everyone in the series like had their moment, you know, and it just made it so much feel like it was a total team effort. You know, like you said, game three, game four was Adam. Eddie started to dominate, you know, in game three. Then Chacho and Sergi and Rudy and those guys, you know, play amazing in game five and win it for us. So I just feel like it was just special because we all had our different moments. And at the end of the day, everything was a team. You know, we either lost as a team or won as a team. But it was, for me, especially, you know, being another point guard and watching Chacho and Sergi make the plays that they were making. I mean, it's always fun, but that was something like I never seen before.
Man, you know, I always talk about the little things, you know, coaches, you know, Chiefs, I know you talk about the details and the little things. I remember a couple situations. Where, I mean, when I looked at the stats at the end of the game, I look at Rudy Fernandez, who to me had such an impact on that game five. And I look, he said 0 points. And I'm like, how could a guy 0 points have such an impact on a game? And then I remember one play down by y'all's bench where the ball was going out of bounds, and I wasn't sure, nobody was really served. It was going to be your ball or Partizan's ball, and Arizona, Mario dove for it, saved it, and you guys got a quick, fast break out of it, or a three-pointer, I think, if I remember correctly. I don't remember exactly what the result was, but it just seemed like those little things, man, just turned the game around. Those little details, the little things, the 50-50 balls you guys picked up. Do you guys remember that play where he dove in the corner for it?
Yeah.
Even I remember one in which we got a jumble.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if it was Mario who gave the ball to Rudy. Rudy immediately.
Yeah.
This is what you said.
Yeah.
And Rudy immediately a long pass for Sergi, and he finished with a layup, the fast break. And this kind of things is what make us to get one more point than the opponents, because sometimes this experience, mm-hmm. Rudy can finish with 0 points, but he knows the game perfectly. Yep. His IQ is amazing. And sometimes he doesn't need to score to be in the right place and a weak side to steal one ball or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
It's crazy. Crazy. I remember also the out of bounds play underneath Partizan, well, it was underneath your basket, Partizan side, where there was like a minute left, and it's the one that Sergio Yui hit. And it was, and I remember just before taking the ball out, Chacho went up to say something to Rudy. And of course, Rudy was the one that went to set the pick for Sergio. Sergio hit the three. So it was those three musketeers that did it almost, you know, on the court on their own, which I thought was an amazing play also.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, y'all win. I know no one's thinking about this, but as soon as the game's over, you win game five, and you're like, oh, shit, now we had to go play against Barcelona in the semifinal game. You know? But sometimes, you know, everybody was telling me that's the worst thing that could happen to you because you know each other so well. And my answer was, no, I think in this scenario for Madrid, it was the best thing that could happen to them because they do know them so well. And it makes it easier than to match up because of the fact that Deck was out, Yabusele was out. Coach, how did you feel about that as far as like having to face Barcelona with a limited bench?
Do you know what happened? That our opponents... No, not only Barcelona. All of our opponents know that when Real Madrid is there, probably they are not in a much better conditions to front a game like this. But it's Real Madrid. And sometimes even you are winning by 10, but you are watching behind. Hey, Real Madrid is behind me, but you can't relax.
Exactly.
And probably Barcelona was thinking the same in the halftime. They were scoring in a semifinal. They were scoring a lot of threes in the half. But of course, we start to run the zone. But they score against man to man too. So this can happen against zone, against man to man. They can score threes. But we knew that if we are gonna keep pushing with the zone till the end, probably they are gonna feel the pressure too.
Nigel, I'll give you an A, B, or a C answer. All right. And then answer for me too. Real Madrid went in a brutal five-game series into the final four, and Barcelona went in sweeping Zalgiris in a tough three-game series. But they have more time to rest. A, does it help? Does it help Real Madrid? B, does it help Barcelona to have that rest? Or C, it just doesn't really matter because it's a one-game deal.
Yeah, I mean, I would say C in the sense that it doesn't really matter because, again, if you look at last year, they went to game five with Munich. We swept Maccabi and then came to the same position, the semifinals, and it was a dogfight. But I will say, man, like, I think the best thing that happened to us was playing a great Partizan team and having to fight and dig and claw and come back and win three games versus such a great team and such a great coach, where we had a belief that, you know, it didn't matter, that we could find a way to win. So in this particular question, I think our series versus Partizan was a huge factor.
Yeah, that's always been my answer too. I'm like, man, playing those five games, even though physically it beats you up, I feel as though you guys were able to form, Coach, you could confirm this, you guys were able to form a different team, because now you knew you didn't have Gabby, you knew you didn't have Yabusele, so you had a couple games where you can get, you know, you can feel that new lineup and that the new way, and Mario is a big player, right? Don't you think that, Coach?
I think that you lose a lot of energy with these games in between.
Yeah.
But anyway, they make us to be competitive and to grow up as a team, because mm-hmm. these bad moments made us to join more the team, and seems like we are gonna be able to anything that will be in a way. So this was good in our mentality. I think it was good. Of course, you as a coach prefer to win 3-0, less hurt attack, and this kind of things. Of course, you prefer to beat easy your opponents, but this is not basketball. Basketball is to fight till minute 40 and to fight till game 5. So
there is, now I'm going to go to the final game against Olympiacos again. It was, to me, it was a very similar game to the Barcelona game, where, you know, they pretty much controlled the first half. It felt like, you know, it felt like it was their game. They were the favorites to win the whole time, which we all know the favorites hardly ever win this tournament to begin with. But I remember a play, and I'm sure you guys remember it, where Olympiacos was kind of like stepping away in the third quarter, that you guys were down 6 or you're down 9, and Arzonia shot up a 3. Mario shot up a 3 from deep, and somebody fouled him. I don't know if it was Lucas that fouled him or somebody went to the line and shot 2. And when I was commenting the game, I'm like, these are the type of plays that keep Real Madrid in games. You know, there's a difference between Arzonia taking a shot at the end of the shot clock and being fouled and shooting three shots at the foul line, than him missing that shot and maybe a fast break in a 3-pointer, where a 6-point game, it was a 9-point game, could either become a 6-point game or a 12-point game. I don't know if you guys remember that play, but do you guys remember moments where it just kind of felt like it changed, even though it felt like Olympiacos was going to run away from you guys at like 10, 12, 15 points, but you never let that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, I think going back and now obviously having rewatched parts of the game, I haven't watched the whole thing, but rewatching parts of the game and being in the game, I mean, for one, it was a tie game at halftime. So even though it may have looked, however, it was tied at half. So then it was 2 years of basketball in both teams. Then in the third quarter, like you said, they pulled away, but they could never, like you said, get it to double digits, 11, 12, 13. Yeah. And I feel like for, again, just that mentality, as I was watching the game, you know, from when I was on the bench, you know, when we're down 7-6, again, that's close, you know, a couple of possessions, yeah, couple of missed shots by them, a couple of made passes by us, and, you know, we could take the lead. So I was watching all these little plays either by them or by us to, like you said, keep the lead 6-7-8, but never really extend the lead, which I knew, again, would give us a chance. You know, who knows how we were going to finish the game, but I knew we would have a chance, and then it ended up how it ended up.
And I think somewhere along the line in that fourth quarter, there was another play by Rudy, wasn't it, where he dove out of bounds and saved the ball also?
Yeah, big offensive rebound. I mean,
you know, Coach, on TV, on EuroLeague TV, which is my job, we always talk about every game matters, but it's – every damn possession matters, doesn't it? Every 50-50 ball matters. It makes such a difference at the end of a game. It's amazing, especially in this EuroLeague.
Of course, of course. All the details are very, very important. No? But in our planning game was that we need to reach the end of the game close to them. I don't mind if we are leading the game or we are behind them.
Right.
Losing by not too much points, because if they feel this pressure, probably we are going to get a chance. Olympiacos was playing amazing. They played great all the season, like a machine, basketball machine. and we know that we need to make them feel this pressure at the end. And this is exactly what happened. They got some open shots against Zone to finish the game, to close the game, but they didn't. And we got our option. Chacho scored a three-pointer. We got our last shot, and our last shot was incredible what Sergi did at the end. It was
hey, Coach trying to take my interview away from me again, man.
I'm sorry.
Hey, I want to go. I want to go to those two shots. I think because to me, obviously, the one that gets all the press and the one that was amazing was the one that Sergio hit to win the game. But I think the most important shot was the three by Chacho because that it's a huge difference when you're attacking when you come down. Olympiacos has to attack being up one or up two. It kind of closes their options a little bit. What do you guys feel about that? I think because. Obviously, the winning shot was the shot that we're going to see for all-time history, and it's going to go down in the history books and everything else. But the three from Chacho, I thought, put more pressure on Olympiacos in their next offensive series. What do you guys feel about that?
Well, I'll one-up you and say...
Uh-oh. Hey, it's my show now. It's got my name on it.
Before Chacho's three, the one that Fabian hit to keep it, I think it was to cut it to seven or to cut it to... or something like that, which Chacho made a great. So I feel like, again, these plays that, like you said, leading up to Sergi's shot, put a lot of pressure, like you said, on them to have to make, really critical plays on offense. So I think for sure, the one that Chacho passed to Fabi hit the big three. And then again, like you said, Chacho's three gave us life at the end of the game,
Yeah. I mean, that's like everything. When you miss a shot at the end of the game and you lose, you go back and you look at all the plays that led up to that. You can't blame the missing shot. It's the same thing with the made shot by Sergio. Yeah, the Fabian Coser three was huge from the wing there. That was a huge three. I always call him the sexy Frenchman. So he kept it up right there. But plus he had a sick wife that whole weekend, which wasn't really easy for him either. But Coach, I don't know if you draw it up, if you do it like that, or what happens, but, Sergio Yul doesn't score a point, in the final four in the whole weekend. I'm not even sure if he scored in the warm-ups. I don't know if he scored the day before, whatever. But with 10 seconds left in the game, he gets the ball in his hand, and over the outstretched hands of Fall, somehow or another makes a shot. I don't even know if you can talk about it, but I don't even know what else there is to say.
Sergio didn't score in the game, but all of us knows that he is the best in this kind of situations. So it doesn't matter if he scored or not. When we come to the bench, I ask him, "Hey, Sergio, is for you?" And he said, "For me." And no question. All the teammates knows that it's his ball and he's going to take the last one. He managed very good this situation because he did it in the past and he's the man in these situations. Sometimes will be all the different because everybody now the focus are going to be on him. But now in this moment, he has to do it. And he did it. He did it once again. So it was good to see the picture of this shot because it's something that I'm gonna put in a frame at home in a privileged place of my house. So it was amazing what happened at the end, how everybody felt because of course Olympiacos deserve it too because they fight until the end and it's lucky for us at the end this shot, but it was good, this feeling, because we fight.
Coach, I saw a video the other day that when they actually had like a double thing video, and Nigel didn't see it because he doesn't have social media, I guess. But anyway, that's why he doesn't watch the crossover, but he's going to start watching it after this show. But there was a double frame where on the right side was Sergio dribbling to the basket and making the shot. And on the left side was you and your bench and everybody standing up watching. And he made the shot and everybody jumped and went crazy except for you. You just turned around and walked back to the huddle.
No, three more seconds. Three more seconds.
I know, but I mean, come on. I mean, you didn't even pop up on your toes or like, you know, like zero emotion whatsoever. I'm like, how the hell does he do that? Not even like a little fist or not a fist bump. Like, okay, three more seconds, guys. Let's go. Nothing. Zero emotion. What were you thinking about?
We draw the play in the coaching board and we know what is going to happen. So
that's kind of like me making predictions, right? If I make predictions, I already know I'm going to be right. No, but Siri, I know you have to think about three more seconds, but how is it that there was no emotion? Because, you know, coach, you just told me you trust in Sergio, and I get that because you have to, because he's a veteran. He's been there. Tato has done it for you over the last three games also, but if he misses that shot in the final game, you know there's going to be a lot of criticism about you making that call.
But I can't control this. The people from outside, what the people from outside said, I can't control it. Mm. I only can control what my players, my staff can do, my practices. This is what I control, not the criticisms from outside. Of course, I got to be focused on the three last seconds. I got to be thinking who is going to play defense. In this moment, Nigel goes into the court, the same like Alam Hanga. And I have to think about the next play. The game is not finished. It's not over.
Man, and Fab falls down, or Fab gets tripped up coming off the out-of-bounds play and leaves it wide open, Kostas Lukas. What was going through y'all's mind when the little lefty who's notorious for making big shots gets a pretty good look with the second left? What were y'all thinking?
We talk about him. He's going to receive the ball. We said, Lucas is going to receive the ball. But I remember that Fabian take care of his defense, and even Adam Hanga went to help a little bit. Right. So this was enough to make him to hesitate a little bit. He missed the shot. This is what happened. No other situation. He didn't score. We are happy right now because we won. And that's it. Finish the interview. And it's good. We finished with the championship.
Nigel, what were you thinking when you saw that ball go up?
Honestly, I was just thinking to get the rebound. You know, I had reminded the guys as we were coming to the court, like, we got to finish with a rebound. It's funny because the Boston Celtics just won a game with Derrick White tipping a last-second shot. So even though I was on the weak side, again, I was just focused on the rebound. Obviously, we know, like, Sasha and, you know, Mustafa Falk, those guys are great at getting tipping. So I was just focused on the rebound, and I happened to get the last one, but I knew we had to finish with the rebound.
Well, fellas, that's it for this interview. Hey, congratulations. I know – I had my spies on the flight back home. I heard it was a big party for the first couple hours, but then everybody passed out.
It was late. Too much emotion.
Too much emotion. I had to get rest for a game on Wednesday, like 4 days, 3 days later. Hey, I know y'all got the rest of the ACB season coming up, the playoffs coming up. Best of luck to both of you guys. Coach, keep those injuries minimal, will you, till the end of the season? Keep your players healthy.
Thank you.
Good luck in the ACB Finals, and we'll see you next year in the EuroLeague. Thanks for being my guest here in the Crossover, fellas.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode, and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can also get in touch via Twitter and Instagram at EuroLeague using the hashtag ELCrossover, or on Facebook at the EuroLeague.